We hear a lot of people discuss evangelism and even argue evangelism, but don't do evangelism. We had this workshop last year, and we talked a great deal about philosophy and strategy. And we argued, you know, whether it should be lifestyle evangelism or confrontational evangelism and this, that, and the other. And we got a little bit of done, but very little. Now, this today will be a hands-on workshop. And when you leave here today, you will be able to do evangelism. Now, it may be not as good as the evangelism you're doing now. It may be only supplemental to what you're doing now, but it will be something. And I find that most people, as I said, talk it and argue it, but they don't do it. So let's do it today. Now, I want to... I intended to bring a little written deal on the link in the chain. How many of you have ever heard of the link in the chain? I'm sure that several of you have. Now, real quickly, back in World War II, back in Sydney, Australia, there was a man who tapped every soldier on the shoulder that he could find on the streets of Sydney. Am I coming through okay to you? And he said, hey, Bob, pardon me. He says, I hope you will not be offended, but may I ask you a question? Have you ever given much serious thought to where you will spend eternity if you should die tonight? The Bible says everybody will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Think about that. Goodbye. And off he went. Now, years and years later, a preacher, I understand, in England began to preach and evangelize in various places. And he had people from nearly every continent, one or two here and there, stand up and say, I was one of those soldiers. I was one of those sailors. That fella tapped me on the shoulder, and that's the reason I'm here. And he decided to go find that man. And this is a true story. He went to Sydney, and he asked people after people after people. And finally, he talked to a person and says, yes, I think I know who you're talking about. I think you'll find him right down there 2 miles and over a mile at the end of that lane, living in that little shack. And he went to where that man lived, and he was very old. And he told him who he was, and he said, I want to talk to you about this. And he says, gave his own testimony. He said he never slept a night after he was challenged with that question until he went to his chaplain, and his chaplain led him to the Lord. And now he says, now I am an evangelist. The old man began to cry, and he thanked him, and he says, do you know that today is the first time that I have ever known of any value whatsoever to what I did during those days of World War II. Isn't that amazing? A link in a chain. Now, you can be only a link in a chain, or you can be the last link in somebody's chain. Now, I hope you won't be like some I've heard who say, the sovereignty of God, I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I would hate to think that I'm the last link in somebody's chain. God is able to save anybody. I agree with that man. But you'll find here the article on the sovereignty of God versus the freedom of man or the responsibility of man. And you may find that as Paul says in Romans 10:13-17, you may very well be the last link in somebody's chain. You may very well be the messenger that God has moved to go present the gospel to a person. And I hope that you'll be obedient if God directs you and motivates you to go and talk to Mr. A or Mr. B. because you may very well be the last link in that chain. The responsibility of man is equally as true as the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in death and life and salvation, but he also moves in the heart of men to go with a message. Amen? So, here's how to do a link in the chain. I did one this morning with Rima at the Denny's restaurant. Anybody eat breakfast at Denny's this morning? We did, and Rima, the girl from Lebanon. And I said, after she had served us and before we went, I said, Rima, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? She said, no, not at all. And I said, have you ever given any thought to where you would spend eternity if you died tonight? Well, she began to think and was going to say something. I said, the Bible says, Rima, that every one of us will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And before she could go any further, her big old boss was just right over there, you know, two aisles away. And I said, Rima, this is a little booklet by Billy Graham that will help you to know for certain that you'll go to heaven. Would you like to have it? She said, yes, I would. I gave it to her. Now, that's a link in a chain. Let me recommend to you that you memorize what you're going to say, or you'll never get through it. You'll never attempt it. But write it down and say, when I do a link in the chain, I'm going to say, pardon me, may I ask you a question? Don't be offended by this question, but have you ever thought about where you would spend eternity if you died tonight? The Bible says every one of us will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Here is a little booklet that will help you, by Billy Graham, that will help you to know for certain that you're going to heaven. Would you like to have it? Don't give it to them if they don't want it. It's a waste. This booklet was not intended as a handout tract, but this is one exception that I believe God has used it. But if they're not interested in it, I wouldn't waste it by giving it to them, because they'll just throw it away. Now, that's how to do a link in the chain. Now, this that you hold in your hand called spiritual opinion poll, or a conversational bridge to the gospel, is when you have more time. And obviously, an employee is not on his own time, is not the time when you should take to share the gospel with him. It might be the time when you do a link in the chain, or if you're going to have another opportunity to make an appointment. But don't take 15 or 20 minutes from an employee's time, because that's really not fair. It's really not honest. And I think that God might not even bless it. He might bless it. I don't know. You'll have to ask him about that, but I'm afraid he might not. Now, here's the questions. Here's the way we use this. Several ways. I'm going to tell you one way. On May the 14th in Katy, Texas, we're going to take 50 men and women to Katy. And for Charles Wisdom, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Katy, Texas, we're going to take 100 of his people, one of ours, two of his, and we're going out in his neighborhoods, and we're going to say, as we knock on those doors, we got a door knocker that'll invite them to come to his church and hear a layman from Tyler tell how he came to know for certain he's going to heaven and how you can know it too, and invite them to come to that. But then we'll say, we are attempting to determine people's religious thinking in this neighborhood or in Katy. Would you help us by giving us your response to four or five brief questions? And then if they say no, we say, fine, thank you very much. Hope you'll come and hear the layman from Tyler. And off we go. We'll knock on 2,500 doors, 50 teams, all day Saturday, May the 14th. You'll get an opportunity before this is over. If you want to come and join us, we need you. We want you. Guys like Jess Babbitt and others. But we'll go on to the next house. I said we'll knock on 2,500 doors. We will conduct a spiritual opinion poll in over 1,000 cases. And we will share the steps to peace with God with several hundred people. And we will find more than half of those pray to receive Christ that day. And that church will be in revival by 7 o'clock Saturday night. Now, we go to the next door and we say, would you help us by giving us your response to four or five brief questions? Well, sure. Most people are interested in stocks and real estate and professional football games. But are you interested in spiritual things also? Write down whatever they say on your poll. That's the first question. Thank you. You know, we live in a so-called Christian nation. In your opinion, who or what is a Christian? Don't be looking at them when you ask the question, who or what is a Christian? Have your pencil on here. In your opinion, then you take your eyes back to here, who or what is a Christian? Write down whatever they say. Thank you. In your opinion, how would a person go about becoming a Christian if he wanted to? Whatever they say. Suppose, and I have quit using the big truck, and I usually say on a house deal, suppose there was a pocket of gas trapped under this porch and somebody accidentally dropped a lighted cigarette and we were all blown to kingdom come. The question is, suppose God should ask you at the entrance to heaven, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you would say? Whatever they say. That completes the poll, and I thank you very much for participating in our poll. I'll hand this to one of the local people. See, I'm the expert. I'm the man from out of town. And I hand this to the aspiring disciple who is from the local church, and they write in there the man's name, his wife's name, whatever. They might even say his daughter was in Susie's Sunday school class. Whatever, see, because they're going to follow it up. Then I say thank you for participating in our poll. This is a little booklet by Billy Graham. Gives the best Bible answers to those tough questions of anything I've ever seen. Would you like for me to show you what it says? Well, yes, I would. We do. No, I wouldn't. I'm not interested. Well, thank you for participating in our poll, and off we go. Now, suppose, now, let me give you a life situation. The layman, the key layman at First Baptist Katy, the reason we're going there is Paul Cook. He was discipled by a navigator, and he's at the Chevrolet agency. If you're going east from Katy into Houston, the Chevrolet agency that's on your right just as you go up on the toll road. Mike something, that Chevrolet agency. Paul Cook, a layman, said, Charlie, I use this poll all the time. Let me give you an illustration. I had lunch with my banker recently. And we were sitting there and I said, you know, a lot of people think about sports and stock and bonds and real estate. Do you ever think about spiritual things? Well, yeah, sometimes. He says, you know, we live in a so-called Christian nation. In your opinion, who or what is a Christian? And then he gave the third one, you know, in your opinion, how would a person, if he had 5 minutes before he died and wanted you to show him how to go to heaven, what would you say to him? And I don't know what the banker said, but when he got through, he said, let me ask you a little more profound question, if you may, before we talk about this account. Okay. He says, suppose that you were to die tonight and stand before God, and he said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to it? The banker had no idea under the sun what he would say to God and admitted it. And Paul said, I appreciate your honesty. And he pulled out this little Steps to Peace with God. And he said, this is a little booklet published by Billy Graham. This isn't published by Billy Graham. It's developed by Billy Graham. And Wayne and I know who really did it. But this is CBMC, and the only reason it is because I get them cheaper than I would from Billy Graham in Minneapolis. But this is a little booklet by Billy Graham that gives the best Bible answer to that tough question. Would you like for me to show you what it says? Yeah, I would. He showed him what this says, and on step four, he invited him to pray and receive Christ as his Savior, and the banker received Christ right there in the booth at the restaurant. Today, that's been 6 months ago, and today that man has met him faithfully every Thursday morning for follow-up, just fellowship. Don't know what they're doing. So, this is what I want us to do. This is what I want us to practice. Get the opinion poll. We don't need to practice because all it is asking these questions and filling in the blanks. And even the question there, this little booklet, gives you the best Bible answer to this question. I usually say to these tough questions, anything we've seen, not may I show you or may I, it's right in here. A lot of people say, may I share it with you? You know, may I share it with you sounds a little bit, I would say, may I show you what it says? Because if you say, may I share it with you, they may just grab it and say, well, look, I've got to catch the next train or plane or bus or whatever, and they're gone, you know. May I show you what it says? Now then, open it up. No, don't open it up. Keep it closed. Now keep it in your hand, okay? Let's see. One, two, one, two, one, two. Got this? You know your number? Hold your finger up. One, two, 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 one, two. Came out even. Would the ones take this in the hand and put it in front of number two? You may have to move, so move right quickly, and keep it in your hand. Keep it in your hand, and you'll see why. Keep it in your hand, and follow me, and then as soon as I'm through, I want you to do this the best you can, without asking questions, just do it the best you can with number two. And then after that, I want number two to do it back to number one. And when you leave here, you're going to at least know how to share the gospel in this fashion. And I hope if you've used this before that you'll know even better. Now, in flying a plane, there is more anxiety in taking off and landing or more anxiety in flying. That's the reason that you don't use something like this is you just don't know how to get into it. You're afraid you can't take off. And the other reason is you're afraid if they say yes, what'll I do? How I draw the net? So, keeping that in mind, this is a little booklet. If I talk a little less, can you still hear me okay? I'm developing something here. I'm talking too loud, Wayne. I always do that, didn't I?
When you get excited.
Yeah, well, when I get a chance. This is a little booklet published by Billy Graham, developed by Billy Graham, that gives the best Bible answers to those questions, anything I've seen. I want to show it to you. You know whether we're baking biscuits, don't open it yet, whether we're baking biscuits or starting a motor, there's generally sequential steps of doing it, isn't it? Mr. Graham has reduced these steps to peace with God to four simple steps. Let's look at them. Step one is discovering or realizing God's plan. Peace. and life. Now, you can read that first deal up there if you want to. In all of life, there's nothing more wonderful than discovering peace with God. Step one to this discovery is realizing God's plan, peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life abundantly and eternally. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, Jesus is speaking in John, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus says, "I am come that they might have a full orbed life." Right in the middle of the thing. Not out on the periphery somewhere, but a full orbed life. Now, the booklet poses an interesting question at this point. It says, since God planned for us to have peace and the abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience, in your opinion? Number two, why are most people not having this experience? Now, what does that accomplish? First of all, you'll know if they're following you. Secondly, you'll know whether their elevator's gone all the way to the top. You may be talking to a retarded person. Thirdly, you'll let a little steam off of them and they'll feel like you're not pushing something down their throat. You're giving them a chance to express themselves. It's an essential. So do it right here. The booklet asks this question. In your opinion, what's the answer? Now, I don't care if they give you an off-the-wall answer because they haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Don't contend with them. Just say, "That's interesting." Whatever they say, "That's interesting," turn the page. Step two is acknowledging man's problem, separation. God created man in his own image and gave him an abundant life. He did not make him as a robot to automatically love and obey him, but gave him a will and a freedom of choice. Do you believe that every man has a free choice, a freedom of his will to choose? Get his answer. Whatever he says, "That's interesting." Or you might be able to say, "That's right. I agree. I think you're right." You may, don't say, "I think you're wrong." Just say, "I think that's interesting. What you say is interesting." Man chose to disobey God and go his own willful way. Man still makes this choice today. This results in separation from God. And the artist has given us a picture of the problem there. Man on this side, sinful, separated from God on this side, who is holy. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Billy Graham, Hitler, and everybody in between. Does that include me? He says yes. Does that include you? Number two. Get his answer. Why go on if he says that doesn't include him? You got a problem. But I would say in 99.44% of the time, he's going to say, "Sure, it includes me." Says so right there, all. All have sinned, and every one of us is falling short of his glory every day. Then the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Man, through the ages, has tried to bridge this gap in many ways without success. And the artist has showed us the ways that man has tried to build bridges across to God. Good works, religion, philosophy, morality. All of these are good things, but none of them reach God. There is only one remedy for this problem of separation. And that takes us to step three. Step three is recognizing God's remedy, the cross. Jesus Christ is the only answer to this problem of separation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, He paid the penalty for our sin and bridged the gap from God to man. And you'll notice that the bridge is Christ Himself. And one of our modern paraphrases of the Scripture, the Living Bible, puts it this way. God is on one side, and all the people on the other side. And Christ Jesus, Himself man, is between them to bring them together. The Bible says, but God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I think Jesus was saying there, I am the way. Without me, there's no going. I am the truth. Without me, there's no knowing. I am the life. Without me, there's no living. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has provided the only way. Man must make the choice. And that brings us to the final step, step four. Step four is man's response. I always fold this back because I don't want him peeping ahead, see? Fold it back. That brings us to step four, man's response to receive Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive Him by personal invitation. Take your pencil now, number one, and underline and tell number two, I'm going to underline two key words, trust and receive. Two key words. Now the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ is speaking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Now I think that that Bible verse means this. Would you imagine with me, number two, for a moment, that you are transported back to your very early childhood, preschool, very small, Wayne, back in Breckenridge, you're at home, and you're inside the house, and the door is locked from the inside, and it's stormy and dark outside, and you're scared. A knock comes to the door, and you're scared to death. But then a voice comes and says, Wayne, open the door. It is I, your mother. Fellas, don't ever use father. Tell that SOB. There are so many people today whose father has abandoned the home. So don't ever use father. You'll be disappointed. You'll be trapped many, many times. I suppose there were many, many times before I learned, use the mother. Do you know how many times I've run into problems using the mother? Right up to today. And she says, Wayne, open the door. It is I, your mother. Point to the word trust. Wayne, would you trust her? Get his answer. Would you receive her? Wayne, you would receive whom you trust. And you trust whom you receive. It's just that simple. Jesus is saying, I'm standing at your heart's door, and if you'll trust me and open the door, I will come in. Now, the artist has completed our picture here, and he shows man on this side with sin, separation, frustration perhaps, guilt perhaps, lack of purpose, perhaps. And he shows God on the other side with forgiveness and peace and abundant life and eternal life. And Christ has bridged the gap between God and man. Now, number two, would you take my pen? Give him your pen. Would you take my pen and mark on this road? Where do you feel that you are? Feel or think. Don't be an expert. Don't make him be an expert and say, where are you? He doesn't know where he is. Where do you feel that you would be? Where do you think you would be on this path? Over here on man's side? Or over here on God's side? Or maybe you'd be somewhere on the bridge. Make a little suggestion there. Make it easy for him, not hard. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Make this easy. Got it? Did this last Wednesday morning in a Bible study group. I've been meeting with this young fellow. 13 weeks, lessons on assurance, plus other 20 weeks, Wayne. And I gave this to him. I was trying this out for this deal today. And I said, David, take my pen and mark on there where you think you are. I said, he hesitated, and I said, play the role of the lost man for me. You know what he did? He put an arrow right on the front edge of that bridge between man and Christ, and he looked up at me and said, this is for real. That's right. Boy, did my heart thump. But I knew the situation. I've seen it before. And what I want to tell you is that you're going to have a lot of people that don't know and they don't feel. And some of them say, oh, I'm on God's side. Don't argue with him and don't say, well, how do you know that? Well, I was baptized when I was 17 years old in the First and Last Baptist Church of Podunkville. Just don't get into that with him. Here is the only question that you want to ask him. The only question. If you have to memorize this, do it, but don't forget it. Whatever he, don't care where he marks, God's side, man's side, I've had him say, I'm not even on the chart. I appreciate your honesty. Or, I'm way over on God's side. Here's the question to ask him. Would you like to be, this is what I said to this fellow Wednesday morning, I said, David, would you like to be all the way over on God's side and know it? And know that you know it? That's it. May I repeat it? David, would you like to be all the way over on God's side and know it? And know that you know it? David said, I would. I said, then let's go on. Get that expression. Then let's go on. No argument, no preaching, no teaching, just let's go on. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him. By the way, you could sort of open this up now. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, that is, to them that believe on his name. I want to underline two words, number two. Received and believed. Well, we've got one word that's identical to the word on the other page, receive and receive. Then we have trust and believe. Are they the same? Sure. Help him to see that. Don't go on without helping him to see it. Then suggest if he did what David did, and this is what I did last Wednesday morning. I said, David, you see, the reason you put that arrow on the front edge of the bridge might have been because you're halfway there. You believe in Christ, don't you? But you haven't received him. And so you're halfway there. Is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? It's on the deal here, see. You just read it to him. Is there any good reason why you cannot? Now, don't let anybody argue into you. That's not a good question. That's directed to the mind. You want to direct it to his will. This person may be skilled in evangelism, and he may be right, including Dr. James D. Kennedy. And I love him, and I use his deal. But this is what the little booklet says, and this is the program you're using. Don't try to change it. I agree that it might be better to address a question to his will than to his intellect. But here, the little booklet addresses it to his intellect. And if the Holy Spirit wants that to be to his will, zap. Right? He's the soul winner. You're not. And the little booklet is the agency, the tool. So, is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? Now, what are the likely answers? I was picking up a redheaded boy on the way to Sherman, Texas one day. These were back in the days when we picked up hitchhikers. We don't do that anymore. But I picked up this fella and I shared this booklet with him, and we got to this step number four, and I pulled into the shopping center parking lot at Sherman and finished it, and I got right here and I said, is there any good reason why you couldn't receive Jesus Christ right now? He grinned a little and said, yeah. Oh, you've come to Sherman to do something tonight and you know God doesn't approve it, right? He said, right. I said, well, you're not ready. I folded this up, I put it in his pocket. I said, one of these days you'll be ready. When you're ready to come to God on His terms, you remember where this little book is. You can get there. That's all I did. I reached over and opened the door, and he got out. Now, don't push. A man persuaded against his will is what? Of the same opinion still. So, the Holy Spirit, this isn't the time. This is a link in the chain. I'd be willing to bet the devil that that man is saved today. May not be. Who knows? But don't go on unless he says, in agreement with you, no, there's no reason. You know, you don't have to get an answer from him. Is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? No. Now, maybe he doesn't say anything. If he doesn't say anything, just say, then here's what you must do. Now, this is very key in landing the plane. And this is where we all have anxious moments. Why do you have anxious moments at this point? You're getting close. And the devil knows it, and the flesh knows it. And the God of this world is working hard. And you know that too. And you get flustered. There's no need to. Here is what you do. Now, why am I acting like an expert on this? Well, one reason is because I've shared this with thousands of people in the Billy Graham Film Ministry. I've trained 10,000 people to use this little booklet over the years. And I will guarantee you that this will keep you out of trouble if you remember it. Take your pencil and ask him question one. Admit your need. I am a sinner. David, do you admit your need, that you're a sinner? Yes, sir. Check it on the left hand of number one there. Just literally check it. Number two, be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. David, sins are different in everybody's life. And in everybody's life, there's a sin that keeps them from God. Whatever the sin is that keeps you from God, are you willing to turn from it to Christ? No, can't say that I am. Don't go on. Fold it up, put it in his pocket, tell him when he's ready, get the booklet out. He can go the rest of the mile, the rest of the distance by himself. Doesn't need me. But if he says, maybe you sense that he doesn't quite understand this, maybe you sense that he's one of those persons who doesn't know what to do with his sins, he doesn't know how to overcome, and he doesn't think that he ever will know how to overcome. Give him this illustration on number two. Now let's take the alcoholic, for example. Can he say to God, God, I pledge to you, sir, that I will never take, that I will never want another sin, another drink? God would say, quit lying to me. You know that drink is what you want right now, more than anything in the world. But here's what the alcoholic could say to God. God, I pledge to you that I will never want another drink in all of my life if you will change my water. He can say that. David, can you honestly say to God right now that you're willing to turn from your sin to God if He will help you, if He'll give you the power to? Can you say that? Yes, sir. Check it. Now, we've checked one, and we've checked two, and we're going to check three. All right, the third question. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. Now, your mother told you, your Sunday school teacher told you, your preacher told you, the radio and television have told you, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You believe that. But right now, the question, David, is, do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you to pay for your sins on the cross. Do you believe that? Yes. Check it. Now get this. You've checked one, you've checked two, you've checked three. You will not check four. Believe me now. Keep the cookies on the bottom shelf. Don't check four. Don't even think about checking four. Say to him, the last step then, and what you must do, is through prayer invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life. Receive him as Savior and Lord. Turn the page. David, this is a little prayer that might be a little different than what you would pray to God, but I'm going to read it to you, and then I want to ask you a question. Read it to him. Dear Father, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that Christ died for my sin. I am willing to turn from my sins. I now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. I am willing, by God's grace, to follow and obey Christ as the Lord of my life. David, if that were your prayer, you might want to change a word or two. But it does it pretty much represent what you could honestly pray to God right now? Pretty much. Yes, sir? Then I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. You bow your head and close your eyes. You know what he's doing. You don't care. The Holy Spirit's in charge. Take I out of it. Take you out of it. David, I'm going to help you now pray this prayer to God. You'll be praying to him, not to me. Just repeat these words after me. Dear Father, I know I'm a sinner. And go through the prayer like that. And if he backs off and says, I can't do it. Now, I can't do it here. Don't worry about it. You're not the soul winner. You're not going to lose the mark. Just fold it up, give it to him, and say, well, sometime on your own, do it. God will answer your needs. He'll save you. But you've got to do it. With number ones now, do this with number two. Forget the poll. Start with, Mr. Graham has reduced this business of peace with God to four simple steps. You know, making biscuits, starting a motor, anything we do usually takes sequential steps. And then step one. And do that the best you can, ones to the twos. I'm going to give you, when's this supposed to be over, you know? I think we've got time for both to do it, if you just get started on it right now. Hands-on seminar, do it the best you can. Don't ask any questions until we're through. One, doing it with two the best you can, and two, turning around and doing it to one. I'll be right here, but please, no questions. Just go right on, do it the best you can. If you want to move, do so. If you want to get out of somebody's line of fire. Okay, let me have your attention, even if you're not quite through. Can you hear me okay back there? Okay. Let me say again that the critical points, page one, the bottom of the right-hand page, be sure and ask for their response. And then be sure and don't comment on their response, but just say, that's interesting, or you're right, or and turn the page. Step two is acknowledging man's problem, separation. Now, another place where there is seems to be anxiety, tension, is on step four. Be sure that you put the pen in number two's hand and ask him, would you show me on this horizontal line between man and God, where do you feel that you are? Not where are you, but where do you feel or where do you think you are? And help him to do that. Now, do you have any trouble with the verse over here in the illustration of the little boy in the house, mother coming to the door? you may find a better one. I've never found one better than that to illustrate what this is saying. And then you see, the Holy Spirit, if He's in it, you never can tell, can you? It's like a bird outside the window. You can't go out there and shoo him in, and you can't stand inside and woo him in. And when he's in, you better be very careful you don't scare him out again, right? We just don't know. But if the Holy Spirit is in it, while you're giving that illustration of the little boy and the mother and opening the door, the Holy Spirit can make that real, and then so you move right into the question. So then the question is, are you here or here? And so that's where you might need some help. Now, have you had any trouble in knowing which words to underline? In step four, you underline trust and receive in that first sentence. Then on the next page, you underline received and believe. And stop there a minute and help him to see that we're talking about the same issue. Now, you might even want to do this. Number two, how many receive the power to become the sons of God? What does that verse say? How many? Well, is the world. You'll get that answer a lot of times. No, what does the verse say? How many receive the power to become the sons of God? How many? If you have to, read it for him. But as many as received him. That's how many. And then the question, and then be sure that you check. Admit your need. If he says yes, check it. Two, check it. Three, check it. Four, turn the page. Here is a little prayer. I want to read it to you and then ask you a question. Don't let contention, arguing, persuasion, anything come into rule here. You're just going to read this prayer to him, and then you have a question you want to ask him. Read it to him, and the question is, you might change a word or two, but does that prayer pretty much, substantially, represent what you could honestly pray to God right now? Yes, I suppose so, I think so, maybe, whatever he said. Then I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Is that hard for you to do? I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. That's hard the first time you do it. Second time's hard. Third time it's less hard. Fourth time it's easier. And it will become easy for you. Then I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. You close yours. And then you look here. You don't look back at him. What happens when you look back at him? Pressure. Anxiety, tension. You don't want that tension. So, you don't look at him. Bow your head, close your eyes. You bow your head and close your eyes. He'll follow you, do what you do. Then you look at the prayer and you just read it. And then say, now the question is, and look him right in the eye, and say, you might change a word or two of this, but I got mixed up there, didn't I? We're beyond that. Then read the prayer to him and get his word slow enough to where he can say it as you say it. And then I noticed somebody went on, and that's great. I didn't do this while ago. Go across here and say, God's assurance is his word. Did you pray the prayer? Yes. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? Where is he right now? What if he says, oh, he's in heaven, I guess. Well, fine. He is in heaven. He's in his body in heaven. He walked the earth down here for 30 years, 33 years, then went to heaven. He's there now in his body, but his spirit is here and with me and will go home with you. Now then, the question again, where is he right now? Oh, he's in here. What do you have Don't answer that for him. What do you have? Here, the Bible tells you what you have. He that has the Son has life right now. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That's where you told us way back there. This is a little book that will help you to know for sure you're going to heaven. So, according to that Bible verse, 1 John 5:12 and 13, what do you have? I have eternal life. Let him say it. Don't give him the solution. Let the Bible give him the solution. Okay, have you enjoyed doing this? Do you think you could do it again?
Yeah.
I'm going to invite every one of you. You're experts now. I guarantee you that if you're walking with the Lord and you're filled with the Spirit and you desire to do this, God will bless you with it. Here is an application blank for the Mark 4 Every Home Spiritual Opinion Poll on May the 14th in Katy, Texas, and particularly you people that are down in that area. Would you come up and get one and fill it out, even if you're not really sure that you can go? Take one and come and help us. Come into the harvest field and be a laborer with us.
Where is Katy?
Katy is 6 miles west of Houston on I-10. Father, thank you for this hands-on workshop. May it bless each of these men, and may each of these men be vessels and tools equipped and ready for your use according to your purpose and plan for each of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This little yellow booklet has nobody's name on it, no organization. Turn to the first page and you'll see where you could use it in your own ministry. And you could say, in your own pen and ink, Dear David, has Satan already challenged you with doubts concerning your position? Sound like real? Last page, Sincerely in Christ's Love, Gary Pope, Wayne Watts. Take it and use it, reproduce it, do anything you want to with it. It's for the Lord's use. Want some more? As long as they last, they're right here. God bless you.